Tonight, we'd like to conclude our study together of the subject of the futility of rejecting God's word. We ended up this morning looking at a passage from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 and instructs us that God's word will do the thing that he designed it and accomplished it to do, and it will do the things that he wanted it to do when he sent it forth. We finished off this morning looking at the fact that when one rejects the word of God, they're rejecting the product of God. They're rejecting his wisdom and his glory, and there is great repercussions for doing so. We want to continue looking at and understand that there are some that will receive God's word. They will know it, that it comes from God. They will know that it's in accordance with his will, and they receive it. Micaiah, in our story in Jeremiah 36, he heard all the words of the Lord, and he graciously received it. He did more than that. He went and told others. He wasn't just determined to do it to himself. He went and told others about the words that Jeremiah had written that would calling upon Israel to repent. He then desired to learn more. We read the text this morning that he desired to hear more of what the prophet was told by God. And then they believed and they fear, and they wanted to go tell the king. They wanted to tell the king because he was the one that was in a position of leadership in order that it might get the nation back on track, that they could be spared from the destruction that God was going to rend upon them for their disobedience. And they tried to protect God's messengers. You remember this morning, they read that they told Micaiah and Jeremiah to go hide. They told Barak and they told Jeremiah to go hide, because once the king hears your message, he's going to be after you, and we know that indeed happened. Now, in the New Testament, we see very readily that there are people who will receive the word of God. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Paul describes the Thessalonians and commends them for their wisdom in accepting the word of God in verses 5 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll begin reading in verse number 5. You all are sons of light, sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are in the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and of faith and love, and on the helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy and with the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to Macedonia and Achaia who believed. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone up, so that we do not need to say anything. For as they themselves declare concerning us, what manner of entry we had to you, that how you turn from God, from idols, to serve the true and living God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised up from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Notice that they received it. They received it as the word of God, not the words of men. They did not think it was the words of Paul. They did not think it was the words of the apostles. They received it as the word of God. And they not only received it, they became followers of it. They exemplified their life and tried to mold their life and conform it to the teaching that they had received. And they did more than that. They went and told others. They tried to convert others to follow that same word. And the Bible says they turned from sin. They didn't just turn away from sin. They turned away from sin and turned towards the living God. That's a sign of true repentance. And verse 10 says the end result of their action was that they received salvation. That's a worthy example. when the God word is presented, that's the way we should accept it. We should accept it as the word of God. We should become followers of it. We should tell it to others. We should turn away from sin that separates us from God, and we will receive salvation as the benefit. You see, even though some will receive God's word, there are others who are going to reject it. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, sent for the word of God. That's a good thing. In Jeremiah chapter 36, he heard about the scroll and he asked it to be brought to him and read. That's a good thing to do. You want to know what God said. And then the king cuts it up and burns it when it doesn't agree with his thinking. When he doesn't like what it says, when he doesn't like what it calls upon him to do, he rejects it. And he thinks by rejecting it, it somehow is going to change it. And the king and his servants have no fear or respect for God's word. They don't try to stop him. They don't try to warn him of the grave repercussions. But this is just the opposite of his father. If you go back and read in 2 Kings 22, his father was Josiah. His father had a very deep reverence for God's word. He undertook a great reformation period when he took the throne, and he undid all the evil that the king that was before him. He rectified and cleaned up all the mess that he was left with because he respected God's word. The king commands Jeremiah and Baruch to be seized. Why? Because he doesn't like their message. They think somehow getting rid of the messenger is going to change the outcome of the message. The message is going to remain the same. The message is from God, and that message, as we discussed this morning, is unalterable. It can't be amended. It can't be changed. It says what it says, and we have but two choices, either to receive it or to reject it. And God leaves that decision in our hands. But some, even in our day, are going to reject God's word. Men have repeatedly rejected the word of God. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, the Jews rejected the teaching of Jesus. They thought he was a good man, but they did not think he was a prophet of God. They did not think he was the Messiah. And they rejected his words and did not accept them as the commandments of God. We studied about Stephen a couple weeks ago when he gave a history lesson to the Sanhedrin council, who should have known the things that Stephen brought before them. And what was their action? What did they do when they heard the truth? They gnashed on him with their teeth and they took him out and stoned him. That didn't change the truth of what he said. Of what he said and what they were guilty of, but resisting the Holy Spirit, they were still guilty of that, but now they had murder. In Acts 13, verse 46, the Jews that Paul and Silas were preaching to rejected the preaching of Paul. And in verse 46, he told them since they had judged themselves unworthy of the repentance of life, he was now turning his attention to the Gentiles. And so men over and over again in the old and in the new have rejected the word of God. And men are still rejecting the word of God today. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that some will depart from the faith and they will sear their conscience. That's what Paul told the young evangelist Timothy. That's going to happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, some have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. And they neither understand what they affirm, and they do not follow what they believe. And in 2 Thessalonians, we made mention of this passage this morning. When the man doesn't love the truth, God will allow him to believe the delusion that is a lie. But he believes a lie because he doesn't love the truth. If a man doesn't love the truth, he will accept something inferior. And he will convince himself that that is the truth, that is what needs to be done, and he believes in his mind that that's going to change what God said. God said that's a delusion. That those that reject God's word, there are strong repercussions to that. In the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8, the Bible says, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, when men reject God's word for whatever reason, for whatever justification, rationalization, any intent that they want to make, when they reject the teaching of truth, they are rejecting God. God's word is to be respected and received. And when it is not, when that word is rejected, there is strong consequences when we reject God's word. Does this happen today? All the time. We have modernism. We have the traditions of men. We have people who believe in latter-day revelation. We have liberalism of all sorts on every hand on different subjects of God's word. We have men who are corrupting the scriptures. They add, they take away, they twist, they pervert. And they try to rationalize their thinking by their own human reasoning. We call this theology. Theology is a word that's not found in the Bible, but that thinking is alive and well today. The word theology means human religion. Men are pitting their human religion and their wisdom against the divine wisdom of God. And when men do that, they are rejecting God's wisdom. They are rejecting His word. And you can read your Bible very carefully, and you will find no good conclusion to any person or group of people who ever rejected what the Bible taught. That always has a bad ending. And it does because it is an affront to God to reject Him and His teaching. Does the Bible warn us about this consistently? Over and over again. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor should you take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Do not add to it, do not take away from it. We see this again in Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Does anybody add to the book of Revelation? Anybody add to the words of that book? When they talk about Armageddon, when they talk about the rapture, when they talk about Iran and Iraq and Israel and China and the United States and the Middle East, that's adding to what the book says. And God says when men do that, they are rejecting His counsel and they're doing it to their own peril. And then He goes on in the very next verse and says, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Now that is a strong, strong consequence. If you take away and subtract things that are written in the Bible, God said He's going to take your name out of the book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not about what I think or what you think. It is about what the Bible says. And when the Bible makes a statement on any subject, that is God's wisdom and God's understanding of it. And we have, again, we make a choice. Men have made a choice through time. And God says when men choose to reject God's will, then God says He's going to reject them. didn't write it. I didn't think it up. That's what God's word said. And how many times can you go on billboards all over this country and see that phrase, join the church of your choice? As if God approved of that. That's what God says. But if you look in the word of God, it says nothing about that. And then we allow humanistic scientists to influence our understanding of our origin and our morality. Today, we're not sure where we came from. We're not absolutely positive. And yet we believe evolution, although we can't prove it. We do the fudge a little, and now what's become very popular in some religious circles is what people call theistic evolution. You know what theistic evolution is? Theistic evolution is that the world evolved, but God created it through the process of evolution. You see, God created it, but he did it through the process of evolution. You know why that's very popular today? Because you have both. You got God, and you got the intellectual community. And so you got both. Problem is, that doesn't God with the scripture. Scripture says in the beginning, God created. And that's the way it happens. Now men might think that's too simple. Men might think that's illogical. And men might not believe it, but that doesn't change after the fact. And Jeremiah says it's not a way he wants it to guide his own step. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Today, one of the raging questions that most people have been struggling with today. That started in classes, and they've tried to, for a year, they've tried to teach privately, they've tried to sit, to have studies with people, and now they're driving 60 miles one way to meet with other brethren who are standing for the truth on that. Brother, men can change. They can alter it. They can fidget. They can do whatever they want. But just like Jehoiakim, you can burn it up in the fire, but it won't change what it says one iota. God's word means what it says. To worship differently than the New Testament prescribes. What are they going to be doing in this city and all over the world from December 24th? They're going to have midnight mass. They're going to have a Christmas service. And on Easter, I get called wondering if we're having a sunrise service. No, it's hard enough to get people to come at the regular time. I'm not going to try to get them up at sunrise. Why? Because they believe that they can worship differently. Now, they're not bad people. They're not good people. They're people that are sincere. They're people that are honest. There are people who are trying to serve God, but the problem is they've never taken the time to study God's word to see if that's what God wants. Wouldn't you think about this for a moment? If God really wanted us to celebrate the birth of his son, wouldn't there be instruction and example in the Bible that would tell us how to do it? Wouldn't there be some teaching in God's word that would tell us that that's what he wants and how he wants that done? Surely in God's infinite wisdom, if that was going to be such an issue, God would have legislated so we could understand how to do it, wouldn't he? But isn't it interesting? God is absolutely silent about that. He says nothing about that. He says nothing about instrumental music. He says nothing about choir. He says nothing about bands. He says nothing about entertainment and worship. God says nothing about that. And yet the majority of churches are practicing all those things by changing what God says. But what did John 4:24 say? God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Matthew 15, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. For in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrine the commandments of men. Brethren, I can't, for the life of me, understand in my limited way of thinking how men and women can believe that this is the inspired word of God, can reject it out of hand, can amend it, can change it, can alter it, and convince themselves that God's going to accept it. It's beyond my thinking how they reason that out. Because we can find example after example of men and women who did that, that had no good ending. You cannot change it without rejecting it. To change the organization of the church from the pattern revealed in the New Testament, it's not difficult. You have Christ as the head of the church. You have elders who are overseers. You have deacons who are servants. You have saints, and then you have evangelists. That's it. It's no larger or smaller. That's it. It's not hard to understand. Read Philippians chapter 1. Read the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters. It's not hard to understand. That's what the organization of the church is. But yet we've got all these other large organizations, and we've got other institutions outside of the church that are regulating the Lord's church. Where does the Bible say anything about that? Where is that in the Bible? It's not there. And so what they've done, they've changed it. Why did they change it? Well, the only thing I can tell you is they changed it because they didn't like what it was. So they changed it. Recently, I got a bulletin from the church in Texas. We now have one in Elvis. That's why I got denomination. That's why I got a word. Now we got it one in Elvis. I only got one question. I've asked every person I've discussed this with to believe women can serve in the capacity of all that. I just have one question.
don't understand what God says. That's not the problem. The problem is they don't like what he says. And when they don't like what he says, they just change. And they change what God says they want to do. So when you do that, you change it to the devil. Unbelief doesn't change the fact that God will deceive. You know, man doesn't have to believe what God says. He doesn't have to believe it. He doesn't even have to believe it's divine or it's inside. He doesn't have to do that. But that doesn't change that it is. You know what? Let me give you a little bit. 1 + 1 = 2. You can believe until the day you die that it's true. And it won't matter. It will still be true in you. That's just the way it is. That's what happens. And so, men can't change it, even though they try, even though they reject it, even though they offer it, even though they amend it, it's futile. Remember what this lesson's about? The futility of rejecting God's word. It is an unprofitable course to pursue. It never ends well when you reject God's word. God's word will last forever, will it not? That's what these verses in Psalms teach. His word is settled in heaven, it is forever. It's the perfect law of liberty, 1 Peter 1:25. When men reject God's word, they do so to their own peril. What happened to the whole thing? He cut it all up. He burned it up. He went after Baruch and Jeremiah. He was going to cast into the prison. He was going to take care of them for what they said. What happened to him? He lost his kingdom. He lost his life. He lost his family. And there was not one person of his generation that ever set on his throne on Judah after him. So who did that to him? Did it be so? How did he put himself in that position? By rejecting God's word. That's how he got it. And why did God put the story of Jehoiakim in the Bible? Why did he? Romans 15 tells us why he did. Those things written aforetime were written for our learning. And when we change it, when we alter it, when we amend it, when we reject it, our issue is not with the text, not with the messenger. The issue is with God. And that is a dangerous, futile force to pursue. You know why? It's the last verse on the Bible. If you can reject this word, it's the same word that you reject. God will use it in the last day at the standard of judgment. Brethren, that makes it pretty serious. If this is going to be the standard of judgment, I better be sure that I don't reject what it says in my teaching.
He who rejects me and does not receive my word,
as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in
the last day. I want to share something with you. You're not going to be judged by what I think. You're not going to be judged by what some your favorite Christian thinks. And you're not going to be judged by what your family's believed all their life. You're going to be judged by the precepts and the teaching of this book.
And the only opinion that's going to matter in the end is God's opinion. Not mine, not yours, not anybody's. Just God. And if I want to assure myself that I don't come up on the wrong end of this, I'm going to stick with God's opinion, and I'm going to leave my opinion out of it. That's what I'm going to do, because I think that's a safe course to pursue. Now, will you receive or you reject God's word? Now, that's a question you got to ask. And that's a question you got to answer. Will you reject it? Let me give you an illustration in bringing my lesson to a close. When I was in Las Vegas a number of years ago, I took the position that I've always taken in the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage. And it was very contrary to the first place I worshiped. And they took an opposing view. and one that was very much more liberal-minded. And I didn't know that at the time, but it became more apparent as I got into my preaching work, and I began to study with the elders and with the evangelists there. It became very apparent to me that they were on a different page according to what God's Word taught on that subject. Well, then I began to take a good, hard look at the congregation. And you know what I saw? I saw 6 cases of adultery all the time I was there in the 5 years, all committed by the Christian in the marriage, and all of them repented and got new mates. That's a product of their teaching. One day we were sitting in one of the elders' houses, and they were having their little sit-to, and they had a lot of those with me, and they were trying to convince me of how wrong I was. And finally, one of the elders got pretty frustrated. He said, "Now listen, Keith." He said, "One of these days, one of your children is going to get in this kind of a mess, and then you're going to see this a lot differently." And you know what I told him? I said, "You might be right. But this will say the same thing it's always said. No matter what position I take, this book will always say what it does say. And it won't matter why I change, this book will not change." And you know what? I go there and convince him to do that. Because that won't happen. That's not going to bring him one way closer to salvation. You know why? Because the book still says that you can't live in sin and get in sin. And no matter how bad I want it, because it's somebody I love, I can't choose. Undefiled, is pure, and it will always say what it says. And so, Jehoiakim, he thought he could burn God's word up, and he could come up with a different outcome that was more suiting to what he wanted. But it didn't happen. What happened was, he lost his life, he lost his kingdom, because when he rejected the words of Jeremiah, he rejected